May 26, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, episode 81.
Yes.
That chick over there is staring at me.
Which chick? Where?
Over there.
Hey, she is staring at you. You better go over and talk to her. She probably wants it.
What's cooking, good looking?
Your fly's undone.
The Nick Winter Show, and I do the entertaining. Thank you. Let's go out with something really hot for these folks. A big hit out of 77.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Give me those Star Wars. Don't let them end. Star Wars. If they should. Let me Star Wars stay and hey, how about that nutty Star Wars bar? Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars, those near and far wars, my seventh winner up here. Star Wars!
The spaceship was ready to chart the stars. Go where no one's ever gone. Final preparations were almost made.
Breakfast. Lunch.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Gentlemen, rock and roll.
everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from deep space. Yes, that's right, I threw you there, didn't I? We're on the space station Nowhere in the Mulberry Sector in the Alpha Quadrant of deep space, Steven. Steven is back from Oahu, just getting over your jet lag. Now you have space shuttle lag. What is that all about?
It's crazy, man. I don't know what space time it is.
Yeah, but we're lucky to have you here. It's nice to be in space. We're actually friends of Richard Branson, Virgin guy. I don't know if you know this, Bill, but he's been Richard Branson has done a lot of cameos in movies. He did a cameo on our last episode, only he didn't say anything, so no one knew he was there. But he was actually here for a minute, but no one knew. He's a good friend of the show. We don't like to impose, like, hey, he's the rich guy in the room. We just treat him like normal, and that's why I think he likes us. So we're on the Virgin Space Station. We're doing the show from deep space, and it's a lot of fun. But also Jesus. We have here...
Hey, for when some you run out of things to say, why does your voice go high?
He gets excited. That's what happens when he's excited.
I want to explain it, guys. On the way up here, my testicles were crushed by the G-forces. So,
I have a high voice!
But also we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. Welcome, Bill.
Yes, thank you. It's very bizarre being in the same place with all of you at one time.
Yeah, it is. And it's totally, we can walk around just like in Battlestar Galactica because they have artificial gravity. You know, that floating around stuff like in Apollo 13. Yeah, we don't want that realistic stuff. There's also sound in space, Steven. Otherwise, you couldn't hear our voices as we're talking.
Well, we're not in a vacuum, That's why sound can travel.
Yes. What's great about
just
this...
just outside the window
this
here.
This basically looks like a mall here. They've got a food court. They've got
Starbucks.
People walking around.
Space Orange Julius.
Yeah, they've got Starbucks. They've got Apollo's. It's kind of like a Spencer's, only, you know...
There's a Pinkberry down the hallway.
Yeah, they have the Hall and Ass pictures.
Cinnabon.
Spencer's.
I like the Space White Castle.
Yeah, I love all those places. It's really exciting. But Vanessa, you were not with us. You were back at Mission Control in Mulberry. How are you doing?
Doing well. Trying to keep up with all the comm traffic going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry you couldn't make it up here with us in space. Are you okay? You seem to be coughing a lot. Do you have tuberculosis?
I don't know what I caught, but apparently the last mission came back and spread around a space flu.
Oh, dear. That's really bad. Not good. Vanessa, you know, let us know if you start to lose the signal because we're trying to do the show and it just...
You cannot stop the signal!
Oh, yeah, that is true, isn't it? Much like Mr.
Universe.
Yeah, much like Mr. Universe would tell us, you can't stop the signal. Does that mean that signals just go on forever in space?
Yes.
I think we already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I just don't know why he told us that, what the point of it was.
Plus it bounces off another planet or something.
I think Josh Whedon got a little tired when he wrote that.
What I want to know is, you know how they had to broadcast the signal? Already right now they've shown with technology today... Put something up on YouTube. You don't need to broadcast it over the airwaves. Don't they have a space YouTube in that universe?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Could have easily put it up there, and it would have been... So he wasn't thinking as advanced as the Whedonites think. The Whedonites think he can do no wrong, but they didn't think of YouTube. Yes. Because it's the future. YouTube has already been invented. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But I want to tell you guys, the reason we're here, besides doing the show like always, this is our season finale of Nowhere in Mulberry. Yes, I'm very sorry. It's very sad. But every season must come to an end. It's much like The Matrix. Everything that has a beginning also has an end.
It's beautiful.
Everything that has a dial turns.
Every
TV has
everything
a
that has an on has an off.
Yeah, that's a good one, Steven. Let's see, what's another one? Well, anyway, so we're here in deep space, we're doing the show, everything's fantastic, but guys, not all is happy, because this week on The View, Rosie and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, they had an argument. Let's just check
Smackdown!
It out. It's very, very tragic. Let's check it out.
Please, let's have a conversation!
Honey, you know why I don't want to do this, Joy?
I want to do it.
No, let me tell you why I don't want to do it.
Let me do it.
Because here's how it gets gets spun in the media. Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth.
Yeah,
and I'm not doing it.
But you
the rest of the show.
Let me do it.
I'm doing it.
I haven't heard that line. Listen, I think that's unfair.
You should watch some of the shows that, you know, you don't watch.
Them. You accused me of watching all of those shows yesterday.
I'm okay arguing with Elizabeth. You're just as sensitive when I'm hurt.
And another thing about this thing is Joey Behar is uncomfortable during the whole thing. So she
yeah,
keeps
it's
trying,
kind of funny.
She keeps trying to burst in and kind of be funny to lighten the mood, but it just, it's so obnoxious.
What were they fighting about in the first place?
Fighting over the fact that Rosie said...
Essentially was saying
she talks
about
how many
the war.
She says, how many people died in Iraq? She said, who are the terrorists now? Basically, what she's saying is, basically...
she said something really stupid.
Yeah, she said something that is stupid and kind of uninformed, but at the same time, I think she meant our government are almost like terrorists to them in Iraq, which is really stupid. But what people easily got misinterpreted as is she's saying our
soldiers
troops, our soldiers are like terrorists.
Right.
Which really, what she said just sounded... It sounded so like what you could say something
arrogant and just nasty.
Well, it's like you could say something that doesn't provide enough information so it gets misconstrued easily.
Right.
But also at the
sure.
same time,
like
you could say, I never said that. All I said was this kind of thing. So she does it. She plays it safe. But now she's blowing up at Elizabeth Hasselbeck because she didn't defend what she said. She was saying, you're my friend. You know who I am. You know I'm not saying the... that the troops are terrorists. So let's hear the rest of this. If
oh,
you can
girl stuff.
Who's been hurt? Did I reach
why
out
are you
to you?
Why is this personal? There's a
and
war going on out there.
Do you believe I think our troops are terrorists, Elizabeth?
I don't
yes
think that
no?
you... I don't
do
think
you
they,
believe that, yes or no?
Excuse me. Let me speak.
You're going to double
okay?
speak. It's just a yes
a
or a no.
I am not a double speaker, and I don't put suggestions out there that lead people to think things and then not answer my own question.
I had
okay?
a question to you, and you didn't answer.
I don't believe that you believe troops are terrorists. I have said that before, but
it's
we
true.
Invaded them. Let me finish.
You don't like
who
the facts.
Who are the terrorists? I am all about facts. You know that. You tell me not to use facts because you want me to go only on emotion. Guess what? I like facts.
I know,
I like
but
them.
You hide behind the ones
facts.
You like. You cherry pick.
I don't cherry pick. I was just for saying that because it suggested something, okay? So I said, look, take your opportunity now. You have a show right now to
I
tell the world what you
I didn't
want to
take my
really
opportunity
think.
To tell the world.
Why?
I wanted to know what people like you, but you are my friend
yes.
since September.
Yes.
Do you believe that I think... our troops are terrorists.
I do.
You would not even look me in the face, Elizabeth, and
what
say, no,
about?
Rosie, I can understand
I
how people might have thought that. Why don't you take this opportunity like I'm six?
Because you are an adult, and I am certainly
so
not going to be the person for you to explain your thoughts. They're your thoughts. Defend your own insinuations.
I defend
holy
my thoughts.
Defend your own thoughts.
Right, but
there are people sitting at home, you know, they can turn the channel at any time who are watching
yeah.
this.
I pity the people in that audience.
Yeah, I know, especially when Joy Behar chimes in, too.
Elizabeth that I'm picking on.
You know what? Poor little Elizabeth is not poor little Elizabeth,
that's
okay?
right. That's why I'm not going to fight with you anymore, because it's absurd. So for 3 weeks, you can say all the Republican crap you want.
You
I'm not going to do it.
It's much easier to fight someone like Donald Trump, isn't it? Because he's obnoxious.
I've never fought him.
Oh.
He fought me. I told a fact about him.
Did
he didn't like
this
the
conversation.
Anyway,
I was in the middle of this.
Do you like how she says, no, I never fought with him. He fought with
yeah.
me. She's one of those people it's impossible to argue with because she's never
yeah.
at fault at all.
I love the ooh, like they were on the Wheel of Fortune whenever she said, it's easier to fight with Donald Trump.
What, you know, I don't like either one of them, but it's hilarious that, I mean, what is the point of even arguing?
Anything. You don't have to give me. I asked you a question.
I asked you a question.
And you wouldn't even answer it.
You didn't answer your own question.
Oh, Elizabeth, I don't want... You know what?
You didn't answer your
you really
question.
Don't understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
The audience is trying to
I
shut him up.
I think it's sad because I don't understand
funny.
How there can be such hurt feelings when all I did was say, look, why don't you tell everybody what you said? I did that as
all
a friend.
All you did is not defend me. I asked you if you believed that
you
I thought
that... You answer your own question. I don't believe that
Elizabeth,
your suggestion was
day,
right.
Since September,
yes.
I have told you I support the
I
troops.
I have done the same for you.
I asked you if you believed
she's
what the Republican pundits were
lady.
Saying.
Say yes?
You said nothing, and that's cowardly.
No.
Nothing,
that is
Elizabeth.
Not... Do not...
Cowardly?
Do not call me a coward, because number one, I sit here every single
you
day
open my heart
and tell people exactly what I believe.
You are a coward.
So do I. I'm a coward, Rosie. I do not lie.
It was
not cowardly. It was honest. What is cowardly?
Is there no commercial in the show?
My ears are bleeding.
No one can hear you question that you never answer yourself. Ooh, that is cowardly.
He's directing the show. Let's go to commercial. Let's go to commercial.
I need a drink of water. Let's go to commercial.
Wait, now, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
The difference is...
Cat having fight. A cat fight.
All right, if there were two men fighting, it'd be like, yeah, you're a jerk, you're a jerk. You want to go get a beer? Sure, it'd be over. Women, this is what we do. When you guys have a disagreement about a point, you might debate it a bit, but then it's over. Women, we go on and on.
Well, I really think that, I mean, I understand Rosie doesn't like her. She could say, you know I love you, but that girl is so stupid and just a moron. That, you know, it's like arguing with a retarded person. It doesn't do any good.
And what is why is it her? Why is it Elizabeth Hasselbeck's responsibility to defend Rosie?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's like it doesn't matter. Who? I mean, that's not my job. Sorry.
That's the first time I actually heard that because I watched it. But if anybody that watched it noticed, Elizabeth Hasselbeck was sporting some incredible cleavage during that entire argument.
and she kept
like pointing her finger at the air and hitting the table, and it was making her boobs jiggle, and I'm just like staring at it
to
like,
distract Rosie.
Whoa.
Trump decided to chime in on all this.
Of course.
I really don't want to rehash yesterday.
But Rosie's arch enemy Donald Trump is fighting mad. He's slamming Elizabeth for dragging him into this.
It's much easier to fight someone like Donald Trump, isn't it? Because he's obnoxious.
Well, I am obnoxious, so in that she's right, I must say. But, you know, Elizabeth is not a very smart person. She's one of the dumber people on television.
Is Trump actually on Rosie's side? Sort of.
On this one, I think Rosie should win, but Rosie's not much herself.
But here's the thing. Ooh. Rosie, after that, she decided she's not going back to The View. She's like,
yeah, she's done.
She's done. She's finished.
Over that?
No, it had more.
She was going to leave anyways.
But it had more to do with what she sees them talk about her on Fox News. And she gets annoyed at that. But it's just stupid.
Why does she care?
People get to say, oh, Rosie left. And they get to do that in the news or whatever. It's just really retarded.
Well, I am obnoxious.
Yes, you are, Trump. But anyway, before we go on to voicemail, I wanted to say, Steven, now that you're back from Oahu, you enjoyed a lovely work time vacation. I mean, you worked, but you still had a lovely vacation. You got to catch up on all the big finales later on. Heroes. Lost. What else? Heroes.
24?
24. No more Heroes. 24. Veronica Mars. Lost. We've got those four big shows to talk about. But, Steven, last night, we went to a concert. We went to see Morrissey.
The Moss.
And it was awesome. My wife is the biggest Morrissey.
I know. You know what? Vanessa's laughing for me. Because I totally agree with that laughter.
Oh, my God. Sorry. No, that's just unexpected.
My wife is the biggest Morrissey fan ever. And he's been in Texas like, what? Like, I don't know, maybe four or five times. She's wanted to go for forever. So finally we went last night, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It was loud as hell. I haven't been to a concert in a long time. I wasn't expecting the deafness that I saw.
You're getting so old. You know when you're getting old when you complain about how loud music is.
Well, I mean, it wasn't too loud where I was uncomfortable. I'm talking about later.
Especially how loud Morrissey music is.
Well, I felt like I had cotton in my ears afterwards. You'd be surprised, Bill.
You are the quarry.
You'd be surprised, Bill. It sounded pretty good. But the one thing that I noticed, Steven, one thing is when you're out of it like I am, I'm an older person, I'm not in high school anymore, is you see the trends that are out there
there's
people doing the same thing. Like, for one thing, there's the metrosexual guys who wear the too small t-shirt. It's too small for his torso.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you have that. And they have guys. How gay is this? Guys who wear the hip hugger jeans.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. That's
pretty
really
gay.
Bad.
I would kick their ass.
Now, here's
so there are guys wearing baby doll t-shirts and hip hugger jeans.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
Here's another thing. It's the bald man, the guy who's going bald who decides to shave his entire head, and he wears the flat caps, the English caps. I saw a lot of that, Steven. kind of
Samuel Jackson wears a lot.
Okay, I know you're talking.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those, but also a lot of women. Lesbadasian girls, they had the straight bang cut across the
Awesome.
And I saw a lot because there's Morrissey, a lot of
the thick rim glasses, the horn rim glasses.
Yeah.
Well, the bad thing about a Morrissey concert is if you're going there and you think you're going to get laid, you're not.
No, if you're going for heterosexual sex,
well, even gay sex. I mean, those people are just so damn depressed,
but or they're androgynous.
Here's the thing, though. This is like Morrissey's stigma, like depressed teenager. All those people are grown up now. They're all adults,
and now they're depressed middle-aged adults.
But I wouldn't say they're my wife's not depressed. Like I was telling Stephen about this. Like some people think Morrissey might be a depressed individual. He's close to suicide, but he's venting.
No.
He's venting all his feelings out through his music. So he's a happy person,
right?
I think it's when people who are, have all these feelings on life and love
don't know
and
how to
sad,
express it.
They need to express it through sculpting, model building, or
the clay table with the Scientology.
What's up? You look right at me.
Scientology? Yeah, something like that. Stuff like that, you know?
The volcanoes are really nice. And I
You got to be careful.
This means something.
Those thetans are flying everywhere. And you
They're
have
very
these...
rich in
When you came back from Oahu, Stephen, you just were in a sour mood. You had all this negativity stuck on your body.
I went through six clay table sessions.
Six comfortable clay pillows.
One a day.
Okay, guys, we have some voicemails. Our first one is from Andy. He was on our show last week, Stephen. He wanted to fulfill your... He just wanted
he
you off
my
the
spot.
He wanted to take over for you.
Andy.
Let's see what Andy has to say here in the space station
Nowhere
Mulberry.
In space station.
Whatever. Forget the premise.
The die and the burn and the kill and the... Fight in the fight and you burn, and you have got to learn to shake and bake and to burn and to die and turn down tragic and to fight and burn and to die. I got nothing.
Well, thanks, Andy. Enjoy the voicemail there. We also got another voicemail from a listener. I don't think we've ever heard from this guy before. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. My name is Sega Boy, and I'm a kind of a short-term listener, first-time caller. I've been listening since about episode 70 or so. But I just wanted to call in and bring you guys some breaking news. Something amazing just happened to me, and you guys aren't going to believe this, but hang on a second. Let me put this guy on the phone.
Okay.
Hi, this is Sega Boy again. This is the Sega Boy from the future. I just came in and freaking blew this guy's mind, and he just couldn't believe that they've got time travel. You guys want to know what year I'm from? 2008. November of 2008, to be specific.
Wow.
And I just came back in time to tell you guys something pretty cool. You guys know that Hollywood Saloon podcast?
Yeah.
Well, just yesterday, they put out Bond Part 3. I just want to let you guys know that. You got a while to
wait
for it, but you won't be disappointed.
It's worth the wait.
In other news, they still don't have that Kubrick one out yet. And
that's
okay. What else happened? Oh, yeah, that Iron Man movie really sucked.
Oh, man.
And Spider-Man 4 comes out in 2 weeks.
Iron Man sucked.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah, Spider-Man 4 comes out in 2 weeks.
let me put the present time Sega Boy back on.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, he made me go in another room while he was saying all that. So what did he tell you guys?
We can talk back.
FaceTime continue.
Okay.
Huh? can he hear us? Thanks, Sega Boy. Send some more voicemails. That was good stuff.
Sega Boy must be a gamer.
Yes, he's got to be.
Rock on.
Or a Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah.
Now, guys, we're here in space. Vanessa, you still have our signal. Has our signal stopped?
No, your signal's quite strong.
Because why? You can't stop the signal. So says Josh Whedon. I love that guy.
Say we all.
Hey, Bill, it's Josh Whedon, right?
Yeah, it is Josh Whedon.
Hey, have those people given up the fact that there's going to be no more Firefly yet?
If they haven't, that's really, that would be really pathetic. I wonder if that site even exists anymore.
I don't know. Oh, space French fries. Could you pass those over here?
Here.
Man, they taste just like Earth French fries, only it's in space.
Synthetic potato.
Ooh, space diet soda. Delicious.
I've got space water.
Mmm, space agua. It's in the Hispanic side of the space. What's this, Foggy? Hey, guys, we just got a space parcel, Foggy's telling me, through the air hatch right here, through the airlock. Here we go. Okay, it's unmarked. It must be from our friend Richard Branson. Oh, it comes here with some kind of disc. Foggy, go ahead and play this. I think it's an audio disc. It looks like a CD.
Optical.
I think they call here in space. Let's check it out and see what's going on. This is really cool. It's a gift. I hope it's a home theater system, man. That would rock.
Hello, Mulberry.
Return to sender.
Well, I stayed away for a while because I was getting sick of you. But I have been listening to your little show, and I have to say that it has been, well, it's been quite entertaining. So I want to congratulate you for a good season.
Well, thank you, Eugene.
I miss Vanessa very much. her long, luscious, sexy, and tasty legs. I miss them. Her tender lips. Her beautiful, flowing hair. And her wonderful breath. I always noticed. I like the toothpaste. Anyways. I have a broken heart, though.
Oh.
She has shunned me and lied about me.
Oh.
And you do not lie to Eugene.
Oh, God.
You do not lie to me. The pain. So I have left you. Oh, a special gift in your space launch unit. Your picture.
I can't understand a single word he's saying.
Open it, and your fate will be sealed.
So maybe we shouldn't open it.
I'm going to open it.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to open it?
I love you, my darling, forever.
Please,
I can't have you. No one can.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Good God, that's frightening.
Holy cow.
Oh. Last time we opened something from Eugene, we all died. So how about we just toss it out the airlock?
I mean, I'm chicken. I'm not going to open it. What about you, Steven? You want to open it?
I opened the last one. I guess I'll open this one.
Okay,
no,
man. If you want to.
Take one for the team.
Go ahead.
We'll
all
end up in Davy Jones' locker.
Just go ahead, hit that red button. What could it be? I mean, it's probably like a skunk or something. They have air scrubbers in here. They could get rid of the stink.
Air purifiers.
So go ahead and open that up, Steven.
Here we go.
All right. It looks like a... Is that a watermelon? No, it's like it's an egg. It looks like the kind of the egg from... Oh, Steven, look out! Oh, my God! There's a thing on his face! There's a... Bill, what the...
It's a face hugger!
It's a face hugger! Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh, my God! Get a crowbar or something! Meanwhile, let's check out entertainment! All right, guys, entertainment, and Steven, you're doing okay. We got the face hugger off, and we flushed it down the space commode, and
thanks,
everything
guys.
Seems to be okay. Yeah. You're feeling okay? Everything's all right?
Yeah, so
would you like
sure didn't implant anything in you?
I hope not.
Do you have any, like...
Don't get it off fast enough.
Heartburn or anything?
Any larva in your lungs?
Well, by the way, well, we've got some delicious food here served in Tupperware. We have some chow mein. We have some popcorn and such things.
The chow mein sounds pretty good.
It'll be delicious. Now, Bill, before we go on to our favorite TV shows, the new pirate movie came out, Pirates of the Caribbean, which I don't think any of us care about.
Right.
I saw it.
We're more excited about... What? You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you think?
It's as bad as the last one.
I just watched the last one a couple days ago on cable. I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't seen it. I'll watch it. And the whole time I was doing a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the second one until just recently. And if you thought the second one was, like, bad and bizarre, this one is like, it's like they took the supernatural element from the first one and just went batshit insane with it. It's just, this one is, the first hour felt like two.
Do they not know when to quit or how to end it?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't say it better.
Is this supposed to be the last one?
No. Yeah. I thought they were said they were going to continue.
Well, I've heard Jerry Bruckheimer said if we make a fourth one, we're going to take a long break before we get to it. Because they're all exhausted and they don't want to even talk about pirates right now.
Well, I know that they've talked to Johnny Depp and he loves playing this character.
You talked to him?
No. They. The media. Not me.
The royal they.
The royal they.
Now, guys, we don't care about that. We're more excited about Judd Apatow's new flicks like Knocked Up. And he's got another one he's executive producing, but Seth Rogen's involved. It's called
Seth Rogen co-wrote it.
Yeah, it's called Superbad. It has, Michael Cera from one of my favorite comedies of all time that got canceled way too early, Arrested Development. And this looks like a hilarious movie.
It's got that kid that was the friend in Accepted, too. I can't remember his name.
Right. It's about nerds who are trying to get laid. What's better than that? Let's go ahead and check out the trailer. This looks so good.
Thanks for taking him, Seth.
No problem.
I can't imagine what you're going to do without each other next year. Evan told me you didn't get into Dartmouth. You going to miss each other?
No,
I don't miss each other.
Yeah, I'm going to cry myself to sleep every night.
Me too.
When I'm out partying.
Go to school, boys.
I am truly jealous you got to suck on those tits when you were a baby.
Yeah, well, at least you got to suck on your dad's dick.
It's nice and dick.
Parties or anything.
Saturday was actually a crazy night for me. I had some friends over.
Wow.
Hung out in my basement and we had a few drinks. Cocktail casual. Oh.
Oh. That sounds like a lot of fun.
You would have loved it.
So Seth, you're coming to my party tonight, right?
Yeah, why? Should I not come?
Can you get us booze?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that would be awesome. Plus, you know, you scratch our backs, we'll scratch yours.
Well, the funny thing about my back is that it's located on my cock. So you want some sort of alcohol?
I get my brand new fake ID.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin?
Doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
This guy's either going to think, here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor.
I am McLovin.
Holy shit, they busted Fogel.
Can I see your ID?
Yeah, I think I have it.
McLovin?
That's a cool name.
Yeah, really cool.
What?
A lot of people have weird names nowadays. I arrested a man lady who was legally named Fuck.
I think he was Vietnamese, was with a PH.
Our last party as high school people. You know when you hear a girl saying, like, oh, I was so shit-faced last night, I shouldn't have fucked that guy. We could be that mistake. By the time college rolls around, I'll be like Iron Chef of Pounding Vaj.
Engage.
Becca, hi.
Hello?
Can you hear anything?
Evan, can you hear me?
Piece of shit.
What?
Piece of shit fucking phone.
Hello?
Where I'll bitch slap you so fucking hard.
What?
What's it like to have guns?
It's like having two cocks. If one of your cocks could kill someone.
Break yourself, fool!
Shit!
The cops! Bam, bam, bam!
That looks hilarious, man.
That looks so like a guy humor movie.
That looks great. I can't wait to see that.
McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin. I love that. Now, Steven, you feeling okay? You feeling up to doing TiVo?
Still
what's
still
on
good.
TiVo?
Good?
Nothing's ready to burst out your chest?
And
that's a euphemism for having fun. Laughing your ass off.
Yeah, I'm
going
to... Yes.
Well, I can't wait to see that, and let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVos! Now, guys, you remember a couple weeks ago there was all the news about how Paris Hilton was going to serve jail time and...
No!
fans were writing please pardon her letters to Schwarzenegger.
You're kidding me.
And recently on Leno, Arnold Schwarzenegger was on there, and they talked about it. I thought it was pretty funny. Let's check it out.
I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah, hey, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Illuminated.
Will you pardon Paris Hilton? That's
what Most Americans want to know that.
Yes, sir. Have you been approached? I mean, it seems like I keep hearing...
This is crazy, the whole thing, I think, because, I mean, I've heard from someone that she said somewhere that she's not even a fan of mine.
Oh.
I mean, I think that she apparently she has never seen any of my movies.
Oh, that's
not good. Oh. No. In the meantime, I've
Knives
seen all of hers.
Really?
Arnold, did you already said he's seen all of her movies?
Arnold, you old pervert. You.
He is an old perv.
He searches the internet for porn.
Now, I mean, that's just so wrong for the governor of a state. And say, I've seen her other movies.
Hey, it's that's like, why they elected him. Come on.
He's talking about her National Lampoon's movie.
He's talking about House of Wax.
House of Wax. Yeah.
Where she gets a pole through the head.
Yeah. Gotta
that's
love
part
it.
Of it.
Now, guys.
Get it? Pole in her head.
Now, guys, American Idol is over. Yeah.
Crap anymore?
There were two people, Blake and the person who won. Let's check it out. What the hell? Huh? There's something wrong with the sound system.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is better.
What an improvement.
Torture.
Turn it off, make it stop.
Yes, thank you.
Is that the Light FM channel? Yeah.
And you just wiped the floor with Blake on that song.
Yo.
The winner of American Idol.
And still champion.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed.
Thank you so much for everything.
Well, you're welcome. I made it all possible, guys.
I think
it doesn't need to sing more. I'm sorry, I like the guy's epileptic seizure song better.
Yeah. When did American Idol become a singing show?
Wait, didn't he sing that one early on, the Hump the Hillbilly Reggae the Show or something? I don't remember what that music was.
I love the whole kind of like hip-hop kind of reggae
no,
thing.
No, that's not it, Foggy. But also, guys, that wasn't the only show that declared a winner. Dancing with the Stars did.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was Starbuck from BSG. Let's check it out.
Awesome.
We will now reveal the winners and new champions of Dancing with the Stars, Apollo and Julia!
Apollo, I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Apollo Adama.
From day one, I think everybody here has been champions.
What was that?
Joey has taught me so much, and I feel like lessons to be learned from watching the show are amazing. You know, and I've learned from myself. You put your mind to something, you do 100%, you give sacrifice, dedication,
that's right.
Anything is possible.
Put your mind to something.
Thank you for that cliche advice.
Thank you,
advice. Yeah.
You so much, and she's been the best teacher I've ever had.
I'm so proud of her.
Yes, yes.
What
yes.
do they win?
Get off the stage.
what's the prize?
Nothing. No, that's not it, Foggy.
All the world can change.
What happened to that? That's the guy I wanted to win, damn it. What happened to him?
No, nothing. I don't think there is a prize.
Nothing. They get a mirror ball trophy. That's it.
Well, that's kind of moronic.
Yeah, they're huge celebrities. They don't need any money.
Yeah, Ian Ziering, big star.
Hey, he's
you know, he
off.
May not be a big star, but he's got to be making money on, you know, in syndication.
Oh, definitely.
Not like American Idol where you're hoping to start a career. You're just competing to be the best dancer on the show that season. You don't get anything. You're just the winner.
Like
that's the way it should be, man.
Like
you should
the
be one thing I liked about this
season
they of
the
show.
They should have to come back from the
somebody...
previous season and defend their title.
Yeah,
like boxers, right. You know.
Now, guys, there is another show on this week that premiered. It's called On the Lot on Fox. It's about it's a sponsored. Well, it's not sponsored.
It's like Project Green.
It's produced by Steven Spielberg and Mark Burnett, who does all the great
shows. Which
means
like it'll suck.
And he does.
It's a great show.
That other show. But basically what this is about, Vanessa and Steven and Bill, is people competing to win $1 million to make a very low-budget film that no one will ever see.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys both saw the premiere, right?
And both episodes.
They are trying to pitch to the judges, which are Gary Marshall.
Carrie Fisher.
And Brett Ratner.
Awesome. Boom.
Those three, I just walk out the room and go, thanks, but no thanks.
The Rat Man!
Now, did anybody else think that when Carrie Fisher walked in, I'm like, that can't be Carrie Fisher. It didn't look anything like her anymore.
Yeah, she that's not Princess Leia. It's Jabba the
Hutt. What is she supposed to look like?
She got so much plastic surgery, and she has dentures and stuff, and her face looks completely different.
I mean, it's like 50 years later from Star Wars.
Yeah. No, there's a difference between aging and
I thought that, on the other hand, Brett Ratner looked great. Here's the thing, guys. They had each contestant had to make a pitch, like this pitch to, like they're pitching to a movie studio.
They were giving log lines. Brett Ratner, too.
They even do this in college. They have the screenwriting students or whatever. They have you do a fake pitch of your movie. Then they tell you what they think of it. This guy was a little too excited, and I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. Let's check it out.
I'm going to give the most energetic presentation they've seen all day. Big job from up top. They're going to take out mob boss Hanzo's DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game. We're beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him. It's not a game anymore, Dougie. Who do you work for? Who do you work for, Dougie? Ooh, ninja star to the head. And we end our virtual
ninja star to the head.
I call it synergistic.
What?
You took it to a level that was here the whole time.
Right.
It gets somewhat annoying.
Did he say ninja star to the head?
Yes.
Yeah.
What the
hell?
I like the ninja star. He took it to a level.
He was just a little too
obnoxious.
Vanessa, you keep watching that so you can report on it.
It's the second episode. It's really good because I don't know if you saw Steven the end of the first one, but they gave him right away. They gave him their next assignment that in groups of three, they had to record a 2-minute mini movie, so to speak, and each of them record a different segment. So the one guy was such an egomaniac, and he was so mean to this other director. He was like, why don't you just go outside? You go do that. He was ordering him around. He's a total jerk, and he's like, I'm better and all this. And then, of course, they didn't like his out of the three, and he got thrown out.
Big job from up top.
All I want to know is who's Dougie.
We're beating him. I'm beating him.
Who do you work for?
I'm beating him. It's not a game anymore, Dougie.
Oh, that's his character.
Okay.
Who do you work for, Dougie?
Huh?
They were given these log lines, and they were only five different log lines, and each of them had to give their idea of what they would, how they would.
Well, I want to see that guy's movie because I want to see the part with the ninja star.
Yeah. So I missed the very beginning, it seemed everybody had a everybody had a story about a damn priest.
A damn
what? Just listen to that, the way he reacts to that.
Oh, ninja star to the head.
That Hoyt. Everyone was doing stories about priests?
Yeah, about priests.
Was it like an undercover cop? He's a priest or something like that? Or?
Well, priests are the new in vogue thing to make fun of, I guess.
I was just cracking up because everybody comes in, there's this priest, you see? And I'm like, what the who cares about a priest movie, you know?
Steven, look out!
Ooh, ninja star to the head!
That did hurt.
All right, guys.
Just like you said. Ow.
Let's get into our first finale, the Heroes finale. It was a 1-hour finale. I thought it could have had 2 hours.
I hated it. It was so anticlimactic.
It was horrible. It was quite possibly one of the worst finales I've ever seen.
Now, I agreed.
Let's talk about this. Okay. I said on a couple of episodes, Lost seemed to be getting better. It seemed kind of weak, like, come on, where are they going? And it just was like a freight train towards the end. Heroes was the opposite. It got sloppier towards the end, where I think they had they had a checklist of ideas of what they needed to do. It was point A, point B, point A, point B, each character, and it just seemed sloppy by the end. Whereas,
and
like
who
you said,
they had to take care of everything.
And they didn't. Here's all they needed. They could have had the episode exactly the way they had it. Tell me if you guys think this, Bill and Vanessa, exactly the way they did, except at the very end, a big action scene where they kick Siler's ass.
Yeah, I have all of them gang up on him. I mean,
yeah,
that's what I was hoping for, a big showdown.
Yeah, the moment I saw Nikki get involved, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
That was it.
You were good up until the last 5 minutes of the film.
Don't get me wrong, had problems with it earlier. Were you guys thinking, like, where is this going? Like,
yeah, the entire episode was just... And what I didn't understand is it wasted 10 minutes redoing the end of the last episode.
Exactly.
Right.
We've complained about season 2 of Lost doing that before.
Yeah.
Especially on your finale. Do a recap show before this episode,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Lost does.
That's nonsensical writing.
Don't do that.
And that's the main problem I'm having is that the writing is sloppy. They can't write action. It's like you've said, it's dopey. It's the worst dialogue on television.
Now,
right.
Okay, I will say there was some good, don't get me wrong. I thought that Claire, her character had good moments, good beats in this episode. I loved when she jumps out the window, thought that was cool. Whenever she deals with her dad, HRG, I think it's great. I think they're great characters together. What I didn't understand
the
is
the moment when she walked away from Peter
he's just going to turn on me.
Stupid.
I better go. It was kind of like Ando, like, I'll just go kill Siler by myself.
And if Peter heard her thought, why wouldn't he say something to her? Like, no, you're wrong. I'm not like my brother.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Peter doesn't use his powers. He just hears things. He's like, nah, we'll mention it. I'm about to shoot
like you
this
said,
person
that, that's
in the back
where
of the head.
The sloppy writing comes in.
Well,
is...
okay, there's also this. There, I did like the scene where Ando showed up and Siler was going to kill him, and then Hero saves him. That scene was good. And I also like the scene where Hero says goodbye to Ando. And he goes, you look badass with that sword, you're a good friend and all that. That I enjoyed. That was good. Because it was kind of an end to their friendship. Not an end, but an end for Ando where he was
their
gone.
Their journey.
Yeah, their journey's over. That was good, okay? That was okay.
Yeah.
The stuff with HRG, I didn't mind. And in fact, I didn't really even mind the Jessica stuff that much. She beats up
It was one of the better storylines of the episode.
I mean, I didn't even mind DL, who looks like he's close to death, all of a sudden walking around. That didn't bother me.
Yeah, that was like, what? He's in the hallway, he's shot, he's bleeding, he's on death's door, and then all of a sudden, at the end, he's walking around without any help.
My favorite scene is when they go outside and Jessica's like, oh, they need help.
Bash.
I'm going to grab this parking meter, and she grabs it out of Siler's hand, hits him. And Micah goes, Mom, Dad needs your help. And he's like, what is she going to do? She's not a field medic. He's shot.
Yeah.
Let her continue to whoop some ass. And Peter's like, go back to your family. I got this. And a guy
and
with all these powers just keeps punching him. Then all of a sudden he's like, oh, no. Oh! And his hands are glowing. And earlier he was like, oh, my God. Oh, no, wait. I'm okay. But this time he knows, okay. This time everything's going to blow up. How do you even know?
I can't handle it this time.
Here's what I wanted. Let me just tell you.
Unless, again, like you were saying, too many people with superpowers around.
Right. No, that wasn't it. It's so gay.
No.
Okay. He just was like, oh!
I'm just saying.
But here's what I wanted. Here's what I would have done. The budget doesn't change the show at all. The same exact locale, everything. You don't even have to change the script or anything. Peter's punching him. And all of a sudden, Siler does something like kicks him in the face. I don't know. He does some kind of power that knocks him on his ass. Peter goes invisible to defend himself. Then all of a sudden...
Nikki's there.
Nikki's there hitting him. And all of a sudden, Hero shows up from time. And he's got the sword. And he's like, hey, Siler. Hey, here I am 20 feet away. Then all of a sudden, Peter appears from behind. And he grabs him. And he's invisible. And you see... Hero stabs Siler while he's distracted by Peter, and then you see that Peter appears and he's now been stabbed. Then all of a sudden you see his whole midsection like it's got a crack in like a nuclear reactor, and all of a sudden you see the radiation and it's taking over. He's got a big cut inside of him. like that, something to cause it instead of like, oh no, ah! Kind of thing.
like he's breaking up because he can't use his healing power because all the nuclear energy and all that. It's just something better than what we got.
And then Claire shows up and she's got a gun and she's walking up. He's like, do it, Claire, shoot me. And she's like, okay, I don't know. And then here comes Nathan. Don't do it.
Why couldn't Peter fly himself up out of harm's way, too?
You know, it's funny because everyone's been asking that. Why couldn't he have flown himself away? And I read online, this guy said, maybe it's like when you have explosive diarrhea. You can't use multiple powers at the same time.
No,
you can run to a toilet, but it's going to be pretty messy on the way. It's the same way. He's about to blow up. He could try to fly, but hey, you never
know. Well, he might be using all his powers to contain
the
explosion.
It's like tensing a sphincter muscle.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. We can speculate. But what it is they did not convey enough information is what they did. They needed something to trigger the reason we knew, oh, this time he's going to blow. But instead, they went back to the whole, remember earlier in the season, we saw that the bomb's going to go off. That's how you know he is. And I'm going to say, next season, get rid of the predicting the future stuff, because that's a huge crutch.
Well, they've already got rid of that by killing, what's his name?
Yeah, but Peter still has that ability. But also, here's the thing. Okay, Nathan takes off. He flies Peter into the sky.
Tyler has that ability,
there
too.
There was no emotion there because they just fly away and then he blows up. How cool would it have been if they're flying up in the air and Nathan's, like, holding on and he's like...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you see him, like, catch on fire and he, like, falls away, like, crumples into dust. And Peter keeps going up in the air and all of a sudden he blows up. You see this emotion on his face that he loves his brother. We got none of that.
It was just kind of like, bam.
And it's funny.
It was so anticlimactic. It was so angering.
I love Jessica sitting there. She goes, what happened? And we're like, yeah, we'd like to know too, honey. But then you see at the very end, everything's great. The world's saved. And Siler's crawled into a manhole?
Yes.
There's police. There's ambulances. No one noticed?
This gigantic smear of blood.
There's a cockroach there. And here's another thing. Did you guys notice when Claire jumped out the window, there was no one on the streets of New York?
Yeah, I know. There was no one at the plaza either.
I almost thought for a minute that Hero froze time and there was no one around or something.
I know. It was so... Oh, God.
Here's another thing, guys. There were, like, a lot of security guards after them in the building. How come once they're out the building, the security guards are like, they're outside the building.
Not our jurisdiction.
Yeah, hey, well, I'm off the clock, man. It's lunchtime.
Hey, well, they killed our boss. Who's paying it?
Yeah. Let's go have a word with those people. How cool would it have been if you have, like, 20 guys come out with machine guns, and Siler not only has to deal with the heroes, he's got to deal with those guys. You could show some quick power where he, like, lops off some of their heads.
Well, like he did with
stuff.
Matt by...
Yeah, Matt comes up and he starts shooting at him. And that's another thing. All of a sudden, Matt is a moron in this episode. He goes, I'm going to go take down Siler. He goes, you can't. Not with these weapons. And he goes, I'm going to take him down anyway. It's like, huh? So he comes, he's like, and he makes the bullets turn around, which you don't have to do. The bullets don't have to face Mac Partman. Just reflect them back at him.
Yeah,
like the pointed part don't have to face him. But anyway, it goes into him, and we don't know if he's dead.
It'd be really cool if we take the CGI and we turn the bullets around.
What if we didn't put a little Batman boom and bang out beside him?
Now, let's come up with our suggestions on how heroes can improve next season. Here's my suggestion. Take the dopey out of the show. Take the dopey.
Hire writers that know how to write dialogues.
And I'm going to... Yeah, they're... I'm going to say
some actual comic book consultant.
The writers,
yeah, please.
Greg Beeman, he's a great director, and they also have Jeff Loeb, who's a great writer. They have good, talented writers. Here's the problem. I've heard that they break up scripts per character. Don't do that anymore. Like, hey, no. I'm handling the DL Jessica, and I'm handling this. No. Just work on script per script and get together. Sure, they have roundtable discussions, but here's what I want. Get the dopey dialogue out of the show. There's some wince-inducing dialogue in the show, as much as I love it.
Smallville wince-inducing.
Yeah, there's no barking at the wrong dog, Jethro, but it's come close sometimes. Now, we need some real action in the show. Look at Lost. They can do it. 24. Why can't a show like this have that same kind of action, even though it's dealing with powers?
They've got to have the same budget. They've got to.
They should have more action if you think about it. They have all these people with these really cool powers, like what I was saying before.
Well, it's like,
you know,
Peter.
Showdown.
Didn't they show earlier that Claude, the invisible guy, showed him how to use his powers a little bit? As soon as he sees Siler goes to choke him, he's like, oh, you're choking me. What do I do? I don't have powers. I don't remember how to do anything. It's like, dude, what the hell?
You're fired as a
superhero. Yeah, you suck. He's like, he could even hear Siler's mind. I'm going to sneak up behind him. He's like, huh, what was that? Well, anyway, HRG, yeah. It's nice to talk. Oh, my God, there's Siler. Oh, I should have paid attention to what I just heard.
Why is Siler thinking I'm going to sneak up behind him?
Yeah.
Okay, and the other problem with Siler is, like, a hero shows up, and he's like, he might as well have went, hey, Siler. Charge! because it was so bad. It was Siler's just like, what?
We've seen Siler deflect bullets. He can deflect bullets. He can't go like this and stop Hero from charging him.
No.
Well, he broke his last blade.
Okay, you guys want to hear a Hero's apologist explanation? Here it is. Siler saw the comic book, so he knew he was going to get stabbed, right?
Yeah.
So then he came up with a plan earlier where he's going to get stabbed and fake his own death, so he let him stab him.
Bullshit.
Oh, that's
because he can't control where that blade's going to go. It could have hit his spinal cord.
He got some kind of power earlier. Here's the thing. Cockroaches, survival of the fittest. He transformed into a cockroach. He's just fine. You know why? Cockroaches.
He's a mimic.
Cockroaches, I don't know if you guys know this. Oh, God, Steven. That horrible movie, Mimic. But cockroaches can live without their head. So if he turned into a cockroach, then he's fine. So that's my explanation there.
Still has
brilliant.
His head.
Here's the
you
coolest part about the whole episode, the finale of Heroes. Silver Surfer promo. Woo-hoo-hoo! Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. The hell was that crap?
I did like Hero going back in time to.
Yeah, he goes back to feudal Japan, I guess.
Yeah, Kyoto.
I thought that was weak.
Here's the part I liked about it, that he looks up and sees the eclipse, and then he does that comic book cursing, the exclamation point. I thought that was funny. I laughed out loud.
Yeah, but that was it. That was it. That was like,
that
hey, that
the
was
whole
really
show.
Cool.
Yeah, that was the only part that was even decent.
But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you guys, I was riveted at parts in this finale. There were parts that I really liked. The problem was when it came up to the climax, it failed.
Exactly. Right. That,
and also, does anyone understand what Siler's overall
goal
was here?
No.
To become the president was.
Well, I thought he was going to blow up New York. He said it was his destiny, but then he's like, Noah, you had it wrong. I'm the hero, Peter. You're the bad guy. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, the last episode, he was just standing on top of a fucking building going, boom. What the hell are we saying? You know, make up your mind.
It was a twist, Bill.
Twist my ass. It was lazy writing. It was just, oh my God. Now, what are you people doing? You know, this episode pissed me off so bad, and the fact that the last few episodes have been so lazy that I canceled my pre-order for the entire season on HD DVD.
I don't want it
in my house.
Get that out of my house. I don't want to see it.
I'm just so incredibly disappointed. It's going to take effort
It
would have
been so much
better next season.
If they would have hit this lull mid-season instead of towards the end.
Yeah.
The problem is that, okay, the show is doing really well. They had a great concept and everything. What pisses people off is it's kind of like going to an action movie. It builds up and it builds up and it builds up and then nothing happens. It pisses you off. No matter if it's great.
Well, it's kind of like Lost at the beginning. They had a great concept, didn't know where to take it after that fact.
Yeah, and it...
It almost felt like they lost their nerve at the end. Let's save the big stuff for next season or something. It's almost like...
It's like they still could have had the battle. Siler still could have survived.
I've heard that they didn't want to kill Siler because fans like him because he's a good bad guy. You got to give us something. Here, don't even kill him. Humiliate him. Show him that, holy crap, when they're in numbers, they can kick my ass.
Or take his powers from him.
Yeah.
Then he has to start over.
And here's what I think is going to happen. Peter, he's not dead. He's going to wake up somewhere with amnesia. Because he talked about before how he can't – he recalls powers people have by thinking of the person. That's how he can turn invisible. He thinks of Claude or whatever. So if he has amnesia, he doesn't even know he has powers or what those powers are. So that's what –
if that's what it is, I'm done. I am so done with the show.
That would be very lame.
That but would he, just –
it's a
oh,
great,
my God. That
the
would
show
piss
is
me
a
off.
Great premise, but here's what I think. Tim Kring, he's got a great idea. Bring somebody else aboard to help.
That's
Did
what
a lot
I'm
of
saying.
People
Bring
complain?
In some comic writers.
Get
that...
John McTiernan in there to direct an episode, something like that.
I think
that.
He's in jail. But did a lot of people...
Yeah,
I
think she's right.
Spring him, yeah, weekend furlough, direct an episode.
He'll get out eventually.
Here's another thing. They're doing a spinoff called Heroes Origins. It's like it's like a one-hour episode, but it's just about one character.
And I could so not care.
But here's the thing, guys. It'll be about one character, and that'll be it. It's like a story about someone with power. So it might be cool because you don't have to worry about this.
A whole season of storyline.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious. Did a lot of fans complain about the season finale, like on the message board?
A lot of people thought it was anticlimactic, and I hope that the creators of the show read that. So
and a lot of people, I was on E! Online on a thread about it, the finale, and a lot of people are in agreement that it was the show in its last few episodes got really sloppy. The finale was horrible. It was, you know, so people are, you know, angry and upset about
and
it.
And don't get me wrong, I didn't think the finale was horrible. I didn't hate it as much as
I
you
did.
Guys. I just hated the fact there wasn't a big climax, which
that was the only thing that bothered me.
I could have
that's
daydreamed.
That's the whole point of a season finale.
Yeah,
I could have daydreamed
it
at lunch on what to do, and it just seemed like they were rushed. They didn't know what to do.
It's like you said, though, if they put more heart into it, like at the end there, like when Nathan finally shows up and you're like, what's going on? Why is he here? And he says, you know, you were right. I should be here to support you, you know, and then follow them up into the sky, you know, keep the camera on them.
Show the sacrifice he's making. He's being roasted alive, carrying
his
brother.
Let them share this moment.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
That's what we needed in the finale. Decided to get a ninja star in the head.
We now, needed something.
Okay, real quick, 24. Bill, did you watch the finale? I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
Finally, we wrapped it up. Jack's dad may be dead. We don't know.
And he loves the Chinese.
All I know is Jack killed some guys, and I was happy about that.
Finally killed
some guys. Oh, the coolest part, Rick Schroeder, he opens this case. It's supposed to have a chip. It explodes. He's blind now. Awesome. He goes, oh, sorry I let you down, Jack. He's like, you're going to be blind in one eye, maybe the other one. Okay, here's another thing. Chloe, she faints. She's pregnant. Preggers. Why do they have the soap opera stuff in 24?
That is so funny.
But here's my favorite part. At the end, he goes by gunpoint to William Devane's house because he wants to see Kim Raver. And he's like, he talks about all the sacrifices I've made. He was like, how dare you say that I'm cursed? How dare you say that everyone I love dies? Even though he's got a good point, Jack.
Yeah.
And there was this great scene where he goes there and he looks at her and she's sleeping and he tells her how much he loves her. But then you realize he knows that she's screwed if I hang around her. And I love the series ends with him going and staying on the edge of a cliff and he's holding a gun. And you're like, is he going to blow his brains out? Is he going to jump off a cliff? And he's just standing here looking at the sunrise because the 24 hours is over. And then it just fades to black. Beautiful.
Fade to black.
So this season of 24 was really just not good.
Very good.
Especially because I love last season so much. And it just, they were out of ideas. Hopefully next season. Hey, it's like what I hope Heroes does. I've seen the producers of 24 saying, we've read what the fans have to say. We're going to come back next season fresh. We want to blow them away. Heroes, when you see the commentary online, they're all patting themselves on the back. Oh, yeah, this is great. No. You got to know that we were unhappy. You could do better. As long as you know you can do better, they can improve. Which is
all they care about is the ratings. So if the ratings start to drop,
I don't really believe that, Vanessa. The suits at the studio, the networks, they care about the ratings.
Yeah,
of course, the makers of the show, they're in a microcosm. They're working on their show. They're not all they want to know is if they're still on the air so they can keep working.
Yeah.
But, okay, Veronica Mars finale, Bill, I was sad to see it go because these last two episodes were like the best ones of the season.
Yeah, they were. They were the best episode of the season.
I mean, what was the deal with that? It made you like, oh, crap, well, Oh, it's gone. Okay.
Yeah, for it to leave on that like cliffhanger of Vinny Van Lowe winning the possibly, but you know he will.
The best
win
part
the,
was Logan.
Sheriff and
Logan, I love. They, I love when he beats the crap out of someone, and he beat the crap out of that one dude.
Piz.
Veronica. No, not Piz. The other guy.
Oh.
The mafia.
Oh yeah, the
son.
Mob kid.
He's like, next time something like that happens, just lie back and enjoy it, Veronica.
I really like that, the whole, the castle, you know, secret society story. That but was
I love
really
the
good.
Guy. The guy tells Logan, he goes, you're a dead man. He goes, what he says, you're going to die. And he goes, I will someday. And he just kind of laughs like he doesn't care. He's not afraid of anything, I don't think.
No, not at this point.
But, I mean, it's unfortunate. That was a good show. There's so many bad shows on TV. Why can't we keep the good ones on?
Well, this season was really weak up until the end there. And,
yeah, it had some sloppy moments. And
I really think that's
the network's fault, though, because they went to Rob Thomas, not the guy from Matchbox 20, the guy who created Veronica
Rob
Mars.
Thomas is a whore.
Yeah, there's a great joke in there, but they went to him and they're like, stop this continuous mystery thing. You got to do individual episodes like Law and Order or CSI. People can't just jump onto your show. That's when they start screwing with your formula. It's like Alias.
Yep.
The last season of Alias, ABC was like, you got to make this where people can just jump on.
No, the season before the last season
right.
is whenever they started
And it
that.
Starts screwing things up.
And that's what killed it.
So I'm not really sure how much is the creator's fault, or it's more of the jumping to the CW, you know?
They could kind of have a both ways, have a big mainline mystery and then have one that's solved like they did before, you know?
So I really like Veronica. I'm sorry it's gone. There was this. They were trying to do an FBI kind of thing.
Did you see the shows they're replacing it with?
Yeah, first of all, the Pussycat Dolls is coming back.
Yeah.
Why? There's some kind of, even watch that?
There's a
Jeez.
Show called Farmer Wants a Wife, where it's a farmer trying to find a wife.
Oh, yeah, it's a farmer bachelor.
It's almost like if I was Rob Thomas, be like, you know what? I don't want my show anymore. You want to show this crap?
And then there's the other one. There's the guy who's like 30 something dating 20 something and 40 something year old ladies.
Yeah, well, I want to see that.
Yeah,
set that up.
Like,
but you know what? We'll get into our previews of new shows because there are some that look good. But let's talk about Lost.
Not none of those.
Let's talk about Lost. In this episode, I got to tell you. It was like,
ninja star to the head.
Yeah, that's what it was like. A ninja star to the head. Now, I'm going to say right now, Lost, I sat here and watched it 2 hours, and it was like a movie, man. It was like they had an ending to each storyline that they set up in the previous episodes with Charlie in the Hatch. You got Saeed and Bernard and Jin on the beach. You got the guys heading towards the tower. You got Ben. Just everything. It was so perfectly written, I thought. And they made me feel sad about Charlie. That's how good this was done.
Yeah, that's an amazing
feat. They made me feel bad about Hurley.
Why did he just swim out the window?
Because earlier, you know, the last episode, Charlie said, you're too fat. You can't go. And then this time Sawyer's like, dude, look at you. You can't come. You can't help. So, and I'll tell you right now, Vanessa, here's the reason why he didn't swim out the window. Desmond has told him, in order for fate to work, things have to line up a certain way. He said, you die, they get saved. That's what happens. In order for them to get saved, you have to die. So the whole journey for Charlie was to come to accept that he was going to die. So by the time it was happening, he was like, okay, this is it. This is where I die. So he accepted it. He accepted his fate and he drowned. He didn't try to escape because he knew his fate was to die. Why try to keep escaping death when his death right now, if he dies, will mean something? And what it will mean is they will be rescued. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So if he didn't drown, they wouldn't have gotten through on the signal or what?
They might not have been rescued, but also he would have died some other time. Desmond said, I can't keep saving you.
So at least he died with a purpose.
His fate was to die, yes, and he chose, now I can die for a reason. I won't just have to get an arrow to the throat and die. This time I will die. Everyone I love will be rescued. And that's another thing they showed, how everybody working together, how they have become a big family. And Rose had some of the best lines. My favorite is when she goes, "If you say live together, die alone, I'm going to punch you in the face." And she makes Bernard say, "I am not Rambo, I'm a dentist." I thought that was great. But all the scenes, the action scenes, this show knows how to do action.
Yes, they do.
I love Mikhail, the Bond villain, it seems like, the eye patch guy. Where you guys, like, put your eye patch back on.
They should have named him Boris, because I just kept thinking.
I am Boris? Yeah, I love that.
Boris.
And he has the I love when Desmond shoots him with a spear gun. How cool was that?
That was badass.
We're not even talking about the Jack stuff, where it's a flashback. Is it a flashback, you guys? No, it's a flash forward.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, man, that blew my mind. And,
I told you last week, that I just knew when you guys saw what it was that it would just blow your mind.
It blows your mind, but then you're like, it immediately engages your imagination, like, what the hell is going on, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, okay, here's another thing. We see Locke wake up, and how were you guys? I wanted to clap, like, yes, we get Locke. We get to know what's going to happen to him. Because I was afraid they would never go back to him until next season.
Right.
And he finds a gun there. He's ready to blow his brains out until Walt shows up. And did you guys notice you can hear whispering until Walt shows up?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he's like, "You're not ready to die, John." And he's like, "I can't walk." He goes, "Yes, you can."
Yeah.
You have work to do. And he shows up at the end. The girl, Naomi, she's going to activate the satellite phone after he's beaten Ben to a pulp, which I love that scene. I got to say, I enjoyed it. I also love, and it's really kind of sad, when Hurley, he goes to save them in the VW bus. That scene was great, but when Tom, or they call Mr. Friendly, he's laying there, and he's like, "This is for taking the boy off the boat," and he shoots him. I didn't feel bad at all. I was like, yes.
Yeah, when Sawyer shot him.
And Hurley was like, "Dude, what'd you do, man? It was over." And he's like, "Eh, I didn't believe him." That was great. I loved it.
Well, you wouldn't believe
that. That was a Han Solo move, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Totally. It was. It so was. It was a Solo shooting Greedo.
Oh, we can't forget about Saeed snapping the dude's neck with his feet.
Oh, yeah.
That was a total Jack Bauer move.
When I saw that, I just went, awesome.
Then the part with Jin.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
Yeah, that was so cool, man.
I was wondering where he got that from.
He must have had it the whole time.
It's one of those Korean ninja stars.
Yeah, you know how you see in the karate book, the magazines, they have the ninja star belt buckles. He could take it off. He had it the whole time. It's so cool.
He took it off the belt buckle.
And I was like, finally, it's like the dude in Crawl. When is he going to use the Crawl Blade, man? Finally, Jin to use the Crawl Blade. It was awesome. So
I was waiting for Sawyer to turn into a Basset Hound or something.
Yeah. Or the Cyclops. Hey, they did have a Cyclops. Oh, my God. Lost his Crawl. It's the same storyline. We just figured it out.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, okay, guys, I loved when we finally got to see the radio tower. How cool was that? We finally get to see this mythic radio tower you hear about in the first season. And it looks
That was such a big moment when Danielle presses that button and turns it off. Just like, whoa.
And it's like a radio station. We could have done a podcast from the Lost Island. How cool is that?
Well, that's where it kind of
looks like our station.
Haven't we done it there before?
I think we have, actually. Yeah. So how great was it? Rousseau gets to meet her daughter. We had all these great moments happen on the show.
And is it just me, or is the daughter starting to look kind of hot?
Yeah, and you know what? She looks a lot. Yes. They did perfect casting on that, because her and Rousseau look like mother and daughter. Okay.
She might be a little young still, but...
So Locke shows up, he throws a knife into Naomi's back, and this is after Ben said, "Don't listen to that chick, she's not who she says she is." They're going to come here and kill everyone on the island. And you almost start, is he telling the truth? Part of me was like, dude, don't even listen to him, but maybe these are the Dharma people, they've been looking for the island all this time. But certain things start to come in my head, like, remember the food drop?
Uh-huh.
How did that happen, if they can't find the island?
Right.
Things like that are puzzling.
Then they're not Dharma. The people on the...
If you do a food drop, you're dropping out of an airplane, usually.
Is there another group?
And maybe they're just using the Dharma food? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking Richard and those guys are, but I'm not sure. I'm just speculating. But also...
Well, and it's like the Widmore thing, whenever Charlie was in that
in that room, and Penny said that she doesn't know anyone named Naomi, and that's not her boat.
Right, right.
So,
you're like, huh? So you start to believe Ben's story, and then John shows up. He throws the knife, and he's like, "You're not supposed to do this, Jack. You're not supposed to do this." And he's like, "What are you talking about? I don't know about you guys, but I thought he was going to shoot Jack right in the heart, and that would be the shocking ending that he kills Jack. I didn't know." But he does it. He just is like, okay, whatever. And he leaves. He's like, he gives up.
He doesn't want to leave.
And then he flashes to, yeah, he doesn't want to leave. He needs to stay on the island so he can walk. And yeah. This is another thing I thought of. Rose. Rose doesn't want to leave either, they've established, right?
Neither does Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle.
Well, Danielle's not going anywhere.
But Rose didn't want to leave because she has cancer, terminal cancer. Right. And it's the island's keeping her alive. So anyway, we flash forward, and I thought that Matthew Fox did a great job showing this junkie on pills, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. They did a great makeup job on him, too.
He had that Fidel Castro beard.
That's the only thing actually, I hated was that it looked so scraggly. Yeah. Like a 16-year-old trying to grow a beard.
I think he had some beard, but they did a weave on it or something.
Right. Well, the mustache didn't look real, but the beard, I think, definitely was his.
But I love the shocking thing at the end. He keeps calling this person on the phone who apparently keeps hanging up on him. And he sees this article in the paper that has him really upset. At the beginning, he's going to kill himself. But I guess that right away that the person had hit his parked car on a bridge. Apparently, this woman and her child, she saw him on the bridge. She wasn't paying attention. And a car hit her from behind, I guess, as she was distracted.
No, so she hit the post, and then the median, and then somebody hit her from behind.
And he went to save them like he always does. And they kept calling him a hero. And did you guys get the sense that he's been called a hero before? Like maybe when they were rescued?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone, you're the hero. You're the hero.
Well, that's why everyone knows him. It's not because he saved people from the car. It's because he save the people from the island.
He was almost like the Vietnam vets. They're in the action for so long they can't assimilate back into society.
You're exactly right.
And I love the scene they show his house, and it's just a mess, and he's got maps everywhere. And this is before the reveal of the flash forward, and I was like, well, that's weird. What is he doing? You know, what is he looking at those maps for? And I swear to God, this is what I thought, and this is how stupid theories can be if they hadn't explained far enough that it's a flash forward. When Kate shows up, and I was like, oh my God, they knew each other, but they have amnesia.
Oh my gosh.
They don't remember knowing each other.
So it's kind of like Heroes is supposed to be.
That would have been if the Heroes writers wrote it.
Yeah.
And it would have ended, oh, they all have amnesia. That's the big secret. It's like, huh? This makes no
sense.
Once
they get off the island, they get amnesia.
Yeah. Well, we see Jack, he keeps visiting. He goes to visit whoever this dead person is in a coffin. We don't know who it is. Okay, let's hear your guesses. Who is he visiting?
John Locke.
No one else showed up to the viewing.
Ben.
I think it's Ben. I think that he said, I want Ben to see us get rescued, and then I'm going to kill him. But I bet instead he was like, you know what? You're coming with us. And he's like, no, don't take me out. Or he might have even been unconscious, and Ben wakes up. He's not on the island. It totally mind
screws him. That
makes
sense. At first I was thinking possibly it was his father.
Yeah, but his father
died.
Why
would Kate go to his funeral?
His father died in Australia, remember?
Right. That's what I was saying.
There's the part in the hospital where he goes, I'll call my dad down here right now. And I wasn't thinking that it was a flash forward. I was thinking he's delusional.
Right. That's what I was thinking. It was like there wasn't really a funeral. It was in his head.
Right.
And that's why I was thinking nobody showed up to this quote-unquote
funeral.
But
why would Kate go to his dad's
funeral? Well, when she's
because he's delusional.
Oh, I got you.
But I think it's Ben, or it could be Locke, like you said, Bill. But there's the part where he goes, Jack shows her the newspaper and goes, I was surprised you weren't. She was like, why would I go to that? She seemed kind of repulsed at the idea.
Right.
And it could have been Locke because everyone saw Locke throw a knife at this poor lady's back, right? And kill
exactly.
Her and try to keep them all on the island. So I could see. But also, they'd have to hunt down and grab Locke against his will to come back, and they would all see him go.
Well,
crippled.
Maybe once the people came and they found out that Locke killed that girl, you know, because they thought she was dead. You know, they're like, oh, she's okay? He's like, yeah, we found her. We're using her phone, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe once they found out that Locke had killed her, they hunted Locke down.
Yeah,
but I don't think everyone hate him enough to go to his funeral. I think it would be Ben, like what Jason was saying. They brought him back just to be an ass.
I could see him doing that just to punish him, but you never know. That's what I love about the show. You have so many guesses. That's a Heroes left us without, like, gee, I wonder what happened. I don't even care.
I don't care.
If Silas laying in the sewer somewhere. It just seemed like...
He's in the ooze. He's becoming a turtle.
Yeah. Awesome. A ninja. If they bring a Ninja Turtle next season, though, Bill... You would watch Rocket. Heroes.
I'd have to watch.
You know why? Because when you have ninjas, you have...
Ooh, ninja star to the head. Ow!
maybe Siler will become the Shredder.
Yeah!
The guy that Molly talks about that is even worse than the Boogeyman is like the Brain.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He can see me when I think of him. It's like, okay, somebody's been reading Tolkien. But anyway, okay, guys. Did Lost blow away every other finale?
It was probably the best one.
Are you talking about this season, like other shows, or all the other
Lost? The Lost finale blew away the other finales.
Absolutely. By a mile.
It was mind-shattering.
Veronica
will be right behind it, I think.
I caved and read the spoilers online.
Oh,
and
I
knew, because I didn't really care. You know, I was so disappointed with the episodes prior to the finale, but... I knew what was going to happen, and I watched it 3 times. It was so well executed.
At first I thought, oh, it was okay. I even told Dad, I'm like, oh, it was all right. And then I watched it again, I'm like, you know, I'm liking this more.
Really? You weren't blown away on the first viewing?
I thought it was good, but I still love the, what was it, not maybe last year's or the year before that, the one finale better. And then when I watched this one, I guess because I was expecting something.
I swear, I literally stood up and was like, wow, that friggin' blew me away. And there were parts where I was saying out loud, like when Hurley drives up the bus, I was like going, oh, yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And then I was like, when Saeed broke the neck or whatever, and I was like, yes! I was like getting excited. And when he was like holding the gun, I was like, shoot him, Sawyer, shoot him. He shoots him. I was like getting way into it. I was like,
yeah, it gave us everything that we wanted.
Yeah, it really did. And I can't wait to see what they do with the next season. It made me excited about Lost again.
I think it recharged people.
It did. They put the defibrillators on my chest and went, it was awesome.
I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it ends in 2009 also.
Right. Yeah. You know that they have an overall game plan. Now, here's another thing, guys. We haven't talked about Entourage or Sopranos lately, Bill. I thought last week Entourage was great because it had the great Brett Ratner.
That's what I was saying. Brett Ratner had a big week.
I like any drama stuff cracks me up.
Yeah, I think he's... easily the most enjoyable character on the show.
And there's kind of this weird kind of melancholy when I watch The Sopranos. I love the show, but I know it's going to end. And I have a feeling it'll be like that way for the last season of Lost. Every episode will be kind of like wild, but at the same time will be sad because it's ending.
Well, also, this year The Sopranos is really tough to watch because we got attached to these characters in a way and actually kind of liked them. And this season, it's just exposing them as the monsters they are.
Right. Tony is a monster.
It's painful now to watch. Like, I used to crack up at, like, Polly Walnuts. But now, Polly Walnuts is just such an evil, selfish person.
Yeah.
And all of them are. And it's really, it's actually depressing to watch. It's a great show. It's amazingly well done. The writing is... incredible, but this last season is really tough.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And they've already proven that anyone can die at any time, too.
Yeah.
On that happy note, let's get into the news.
I'm feeling well right now.
Huh?
Stomach's kind of turning.
Well, do you want to...
Maybe it's space nausea?
That happens. Take some of that. Do you want
to right?
stop the show?
You're right.
I think we might have to.
Steven! Steven! What's wrong? Bill, hold him down! What's going on? You need a lozenge, Steven!
My stomach!
Oh! Oh! What the hell is that? Jesus Christ!
Oh my God!
Steven, what the hell was that thing? It looked like some kind of alien! Steven's dead!
God, no!
Wait!
No.
Here, get the... Okay, we got a med bot heading up here, Bill. I think Steve will just give that little shot there and put some saran wrap around his chest.
Here, I'm going to stuff some gauze in here.
Steven, you there? Hello? They put your brain in a jar, Steven. Can you hear us?
What happened, guys?
Can you finish the show the way we are? Apparently some kind of creature burst out your chest, Steven. It was really disgusting.
I feel kind of weird, like I'm floating. What's up with this?
Well, your brain in a jar of formaldehyde.
Your brain and your spinal column and your eyes are in a jar.
And we put a headset right over the jar.
Yeah, so. And your name, we're changing your name to Kane.
Let's do the news! All right, guys, I think Steven's okay now. It seems they've supplanted your body into a cyborg casing, Steven. You're now a cyborg. So how do you seem to like your new body?
It's awful cold, metallic feeling.
Yeah, well,
I guess. Yeah.
Too bad they only could fit you in a 3-foot-high tweaky. So, beady beady, Steven.
Beady beady. Beady.
So, sorry
it
about
says
that.
Says goddamn Simon on my chest.
Yeah.
Beady beady. I mean, Jason.
The scientists tell me they'll try to find you a taller body later. They're.
I think there's a spare Ed 209 in the storage.
They've actually moved us, Vanessa. I don't. You. I don't know if you knew this. You're back at command control at
Watchtower.
The Watchtower. But we've been moved under the primary heat exchangers, and we've been armed with pulse rifles, which we all
you
know.
You can't fire in there, by the way. Do not fire your weapons.
Why not?
Because that has a buildup of gas, and you will explode.
Well, what's... I mean, we're...
Why would they give us these if we couldn't?
We have 10mm explosive tip cases, standard light armor-piercing rounds. Will those rupture the cooling system?
Yes. Do not. I repeat, do not fire your weapons.
Are we talking...
Oh, that's cool.
Are we talking about a thermonuclear explosion the size of Kansas here or something?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Oh, my God. Well, that's okay. I don't need my pulse rifle, guys. You know why? Because I got my shotgun. I keep this handy for close encounters. Yes. What you got, Bill? What are you sporting?
I'm a one-man wrecking
Ninja
machine.
Star.
No, I'm lethal. I'm a lethal weapon.
Nice.
Oh, my God. What the hell is that thing? It's an alien. Jesus Christ. How do you get Steven step in front of us? It won't kill you.
Find a weapon.
Jesus. Hiya. What the hell? That thing sprayed on my hand. Ow. Oh, it burns. Ah. That's okay. I'm going to put some... What would be good for Merns, you think?
Calamine.
Calamine? Okay, I'll do that.
Calamine? That's for, like, you know, poison
ivy.
From
mosquito bites.
Yeah, thanks a lot. What kind of robot cyborg are you?
I'm not a med bot.
Haven't they uploaded an encyclopedia yet? Jesus.
Beady, beady.
How about some margarine? We got some space butter or something?
No, that'll make it worse.
Oh, that's an old...
Butter.
Is that an urban
that's
myth?
That's an urban myth.
What do I do for alien
water.
Acid burns? Water, okay. How about urine? Pee,
no.
Pee on
that's
me.
That's for space. Peety,
peety.
That's jellyfish.
Oh,
things.
Okay. Well, you know what? The stinging's gone away because I just had a shot into my neck. It's
well, I'm
good.
Already peeing on it, so.
Oh, oh thanks, Bill.
No problem.
He couldn't feel it because of the nuke.
Who do you work for? Who do you work for, Dougie?
No, Bill, what are you talking about? I'm not Dougie. All right, Vanessa, besides all this stuff, what do we got in the news?
All right, back here on Earth. In Berlin, a 9-year-old German girl was so upset about having to clean her room, she put a sign up in her window urging passerbys to call police. Pedestrians in the city of Braunschweig saw the girl crying in the window, holding up a sign saying, "Help, please call the police." Next to her sat a small boy. Quickly alerted, officers rushed to the scene to discover the girl had argued with her mother about tidying her room and enlisted her 2-year-old brother's aid to attract attention. "The room looked like a battlefield," said the police. Officers told the girl to tidy her room. When they came back 2 hours later to check, it was all cleaned up, and the daughter and mother had made up, too.
Whoa, so this girl didn't get a whooping?
I'm sure she should have. I mean, don't they? Oh, I don't know if it's the same over there, but over here, if you call the police or get the police attention, it's not an emergency. You get either a ticket or something.
Sometimes
or...
you get a warning right away. Oh, how do I know that? No,
they probably did the old smear tactic with the kid.
Yeah. We'll if you don't clean this room, young lady, you're going to prison.
They probably explained it to the police, and they were like, oh.
Your ass is grounded.
You know, because those English people are so cheery.
No,
German. I'm
they're
sorry.
Not so Berlin,
yeah. And they're not very cheery in Germany.
Steven, what's wrong?
Major issues.
All right. In New Jersey, a 60-year-old woman became a mother twice over when she delivered a pair of boys on Tuesday.
What are you doing, monkey?
Frida Birnbaum gave birth to a baby A at 12:44 p.m. and baby B a minute later by C-section at Hackensack University Medical Center.
I love Hackensack.
The twins each weighed 4 pounds, 11 ounces. The mom is in recovery, and the babies are doing well. Hospital officials believe Birnbaum may be the oldest woman to give birth to twins in the United States. Birnbaum, a psychologist from Saddle River, underwent in vitro fertilization last year in Cape Town, South Africa, at a center that specializes in older women. She and her husband, Ken, a New York attorney, have been married for 38 years and have 3 other children, sons age 6, 33, and a daughter, 29.
That's one horny old broad.
Birnbaum told Fox News she wanted her younger son to have siblings closer to his age and wanted to remove some of the stigma attached to older women giving birth.
On your knees.
Yeah, you know, like being in a nursing home whenever your children enter high school.
Well, to me, it's the way nature works. There's a reason we're not supposed to have children after a certain age. It's
can I ram it? Do you like it whole or die?
She's not going to be
there. There's a reason why we're not allowed to have children.
Okay, think about this. Why do women at
a
certain age?
It's like Logan's
Run. Yeah. Why do women at a certain age go through menopause? It's the body's way of saying no more. It's done. Your body. It's time to move on to the next stage of life.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this woman doesn't give a shit.
That's what I'm saying. She's 60 years old. This kid is college. She's in her 80s.
When you're past a certain age, you're not supposed to have sex anymore.
Just sits in a corner wearing a sweater vest and masturbating.
Well, I don't know about the sex thing, but I don't want to think about older people having sex. But it's just, to me, it's just not fair to the kids.
Book your plane tickets home.
I'm getting the space nausea again.
I'm afraid something inside me died.
Well, I guess when the baby breastfeeds, she'll just have to sit it on her lap because she won't have to hold it up. I mean, her boobs will probably be all the way down there, but it just, I don't know.
There are people that age that are in good shape.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
She's had 3 children.
Have you seen what Raquel Welch looks like?
That's terrible. That's crap.
I'd do her.
Raquel Welch works out constantly. She's a health food nut.
Maybe this woman works out constantly.
No,
maybe.
You haven't seen her picture.
She's crude. She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
That's really horrible of you to say about Vanessa Donald.
Yeah, Donald.
She's one of the dumber people on television.
Whoa.
I didn't know Vanessa was on television.
Also in Berlin, a naked American tourist raised eyebrows when he went for a walk through a German city and told police he thought this was acceptable behavior in Germany.
Look at my Schweizer!
He's a dumbass.
Wiener Schnitzel. We have been having unusually hot weather here lately, but all the same, man said he thought walking around naked
the boys
in Germany
needed
was
some
tolerated.
Air.
Many Germans enjoy nude sunbathing, which is allowed in public parks.
Where
the 41-year-old was
die.
Carrying his clothes in a bag when police stopped him Monday evening after complaints from pedestrians. The tourist was not under the influence of drugs, said police. They made him get dressed and paid a $269 fine. Actually, they call it there a deposit, depending his investigation. I guess they make you pay for the police work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Zing!
Actually quite brilliant. Also in Berlin, God, we're having a lot of stories from Berlin, a wheelchair-bound German stunned police when they pulled him over for using the road, and get this, he was found 10 times over the legal alcohol limit for drivers.
Whoa.
Wait.
Yeah.
In his wheelchair?
Yes. He was right in the middle of the road, said the police. The officers couldn't quite believe it when they saw the results of his breath test.
But wait, how did they pull? They pulled him over in his wheelchair?
He was in the middle of a busy street, just in the middle of the road, like going back and forth.
Oh, so like some drunk in New York, just in the middle of Times Square.
Right.
Only in Germany.
The 31-year-old told police he had been out drinking with a friend and was a little over a mile from home when a squad car stopped him as he passed through the village of Wenchow.
It does not compute.
Why aren't you understanding this, Stephen?
Police said that because...
Error. Examine.
Are you okay, Steven?
I just keep being taken over by these robot voices.
That's a great thing.
Police said that because the man was technically traveling as a pedestrian, he could not be charged with drunk driving. It is not like we can impound his wheelchair, the police said, but he is facing some sort of punishment. It's just not clear yet exactly what that punishment
is. So they're going to just make up a punishment?
What's so friggin' hard about just saying public intoxication?
Yeah.
I don't think they have that over there.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
Try to create a charge for a person in a wheelchair?
Bonkers!
That's drunk?
All right, here's something for you Star Wars fans that'll shock you. Friday is a day of milestones. It was, for instance, 30 years ago Friday that Star Wars opened in movie theaters. And it was, in another instance, 30 years ago Friday that Eddie Wong didn't go see it. The first anniversary needs little explanation to 20,000 to 30,000 faithful expected to convene in Los Angeles for a four-day fan blowout known as Star Wars Celebration 4. As for the second anniversary, it also needs little explanation. Wong has never seen a single Star Wars movie. But this is very interesting. Wong claims to have never seen Star Wars as, well, the way he put it, he's seen it zero times. He's seen bits and pieces here and there on TV. When asked questions about, you know, most people would know, like, who's Han Solo, that kind of thing. He had no idea. He has no idea anything about the movies except the titles and who directed it.
You're talking rubbish.
But he probably thinks George Lucas directed all of them, though.
Yeah.
At that point, if that's the case, you know, it's like...
He's just one of those guys. How old was he when they came out? So, what is he, 19 right now?
He was 2 in 1977, so he's 32.
He just, he's a Star Wars hater. They exist.
He's never got around to it.
Never seen a single one of them? I mean, not even...
Stay out of my closet!
I really don't think that's that big a deal.
I was saying, my brother's only seen the first one, and he didn't even like that one.
Yeah. It just, some people, they're not interested in that kind
of
movie.
It's not their bag.
Yeah. They don't care about the sci-fi franchise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, you'd think at least you've seen one, even on TV, I mean.
He said he's seen bits and pieces.
If he doesn't know who Han Solo is, he's lying. Because I know who some characters are, even in movies I haven't seen, if they're popular pop culture icon type
of things.
That's
like not knowing who Jack Sparrow is.
Oh, my God. I'm going home. Will somebody call a cab?
And finally... Donald Trump and viewers might be tiring of the job hunt, but that doesn't mean NBC's giving up on The Apprentice just
yet.
Well,
I am obnoxious.
A spokesperson for NBC said Tuesday that network programmers have not ruled out a new season of the one-time reality hit, despite a statement from Trump on Friday insisting that he was moving on to a major new TV venture.
You want some? You want some? Come on up here. Come on up. Let's go.
No, I think I've had plenty, thanks.
No decision has been made, an NBC rep said. The Apprentice was left off the schedule, but not outright canceled, following its lowest-rated cycle yet.
Where she grabbed her.
Oh, my God.
The April finale of The Apprentice Los Angeles, in which Trump hired 32-year-old attorney Stephanie Schaefer to help run one of his companies, attracted just 7.9 million viewers.
It was pretty lame. We didn't even talk about it on the show.
No,
still
it's pretty 7. Bad.
7.9 million people watched it.
I can't
it.
Stand it. I hate it.
They were like at the Hollywood Bowl or something, right?
It was lame. It seemed rushed.
Think about this. The first season of The Apprentice, every show averaged about 21 million viewers. And the finale of the first season, they had 28 million viewers.
Yeah, going to L.A. was a big mistake. It was just stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Keep your voice down.
No, I want to be heard here. Wasn't that good, Trump?
They're going to do Trump Vegas next?
Yeah.
Oh,
they need to go back to New York. It seems to work better in New York. And they need to have a final task with only two people. The whole four people thing.
Yeah,
just...
what was that? It ended. The finale had four people. What was that about?
I don't know.
But I will say this. I mean, Trump is full of wisdom.
If you don't love what you do, you'll never, ever be successful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trump. Thank you.
Words to live by. Right, Steven?
Yes.
I just wanted to...
Ooh, ninja star to the head! Ow!
This little side note about Heroes, because we were talking about it. They're talking about that Heroes had trouble taking off in the ratings since returning from its break, and it actually found itself faced with Dancing with the Stars. On Monday, it's talking about... it fell by 8 million viewers compared to its best of 19.1 million. It only had 11.1 million.
Because it started to suck.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, at least, Bill, you stick around to the end to see how it ended. You were loyal.
Well, yeah, I watched Dancing with the Stars, and then I watched Heroes right after.
Now, according to this, it's in 21st place.
That's still pretty good, man. Veronica Mars is like 100.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm saying if I have a show, top 50 isn't getting me canceled.
No.
This day and
age. It ain't going to get canceled.
Well, yeah. They're also talking about 24. Its season-to-date average, it shrank by more than a million viewers.
Yeah, well, yeah, 24 was really bad this year.
The creators of the show said, yeah, we didn't do too good. I mean, they admitted it.
Well, they said that they're blaming the pay.
Steven, he keeps saying they're trying to sort out his cyborg parts, his droid parts. Right?
Well,
Dr. Thermopolis?
They're blaming the 24, what they call the funk of 24, has been blamed on literally its sixth season. They said it lost a lot of viewers.
They have nothing to worry about because they can improve next season.
Yeah. Well, they're blaming Heroes. This is what they're blaming Heroes on. They're saying it's because of their six-week-long break.
Yeah, I didn't think that didn't bother me. I think it's maybe this is one of those stories that they do just to report on something because they have nothing else to report. Sure, I mean, Jericho took a long break, and apparently that killed the show. But unless they're counting people who TiVo the shows and catch up later, then I don't even want to hear anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Because so many people do that. Steven, you okay there?
What's that frog?
Yeah.
A little frog in the throat.
But you know what I mean? So many people TiVo'd Heroes, and they watch it in blocks of four episodes or so. It's no big deal.
They are BS, but advertisers look at those. So if you don't get advertisers' dollars, the show gets canceled. That's why good shows get canceled.
Where's the beef?
That's why they need to go to the TiVo ratings.
Right, and they have kind of. They release these ratings every 6 months. How is every six-month report going to help anything?
Yeah.
Do it weekly. Jesus.
Well, let me tell you that what they consider the top 10 most watched primetime shows for
American Idol, CSI, Dancing with the Stars,
the other CSIs,
Grey's Anatomy,
Law and Order,
Desperate Housewives. No, I doubt Law and Order's on there. Okay, tell us what.
No, it's not. You forgot Without a Trace.
Right.
Oh God. I think everyone forgot about that.
Yeah, House. That show, House.
House is a good.
How
show.
Is anyone still watching that?
I love House.
I've watched it a couple of times, and when you've worked in the medical profession, that's why I couldn't watch ER after I saw the first episode. I had to work in an emergency room, and
hey, this is different. House is different. House is different.
Yeah.
It's Sherlock Holmes done as a doctor. It's okay. What else?
You pointed out the obvious ones, obviously, yeah, that they're talking about.
We're never going to get rid of CSI. People love those shows.
That makes them feel smart.
The first season of CSI, I started to watch. And then after a while, it got a little pretentious for me. It just...
Oh, it did it now.
Yeah.
Ask me to my face.
Huh?
Ass or to face.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
Put your ass on
Steven,
my face.
What's wrong with you?
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
That's all I've
got. You should be ashamed of yourself, you naughty little cyborg.
I'm a dirty, filthy cyborg.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for doing the news this week from Cape Canaveral. We appreciate it.
That changes every time.
from the Watchtower.
Whoa, what the hell was that? All of a sudden we got surround sound going on here. Steven, look out! Jesus! Who's shooting at us? Bill, check this out. Alien! Alien! It's a bug hunt! We got Xenomorph! All right, Bill, we got DVDs this week?
Yes, we do.
Let's check it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs, DVDs. DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, extended definition. DVDs.
Oh, hell yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. The DVDs. Yeah, baby. What do we got in the DVDs this week, Bill?
All right.
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game.
Huh? The hell's that guy talking about?
I don't think he knows what he's talking about. DVDs for May 29th, 2007. Starting with Big Train, Seasons 1 and 2.
Wow, here in America?
Yes, the BBC Video are releasing Big Train.
Sweet.
Very funny sketch comedy show.
Does he do me that way?
With Simon Pegg and multiple others from Spaced and other things.
Everyone should give it a chance. It's a really funny show. Sometimes those Brit type shows, you're like, I don't get it. But there's a lot of funny skits in here. Steven, you've seen it.
Yes. Enjoyable. Very good.
It's got a lot of funny stuff in there.
Yes, I like the one skit about not masturbating in the office.
Yeah.
That was
I love the
one.
Weird BG Shaka Khan one. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's genius. Love it.
Very funny show. And the second season, the quality of the show raised exponentially. Like, just the way they shot it. I think they shot it on film or something, as opposed to the first season. It was shot on video.
It is weird how they did that. I guess they got more money or something.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
It's a conspiracy. But,
if you like Brit comedy, sketch comedy, check out Big Train. Put it on your Netflix queue. And especially if you're a fan of Simon
Pegg. The following program contains
Pegg.
Graphic language. Viewer discretion advised.
It doesn't have graphic language, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Next DVD is Circle of Iron, from a story by Bruce Lee.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
This is the, it's also known as The Silent Flute. It's the movie with David Carradine and Roddy McDowall. I think Christopher Lee's in it also. Don't you remember this? Do you ever see this? Anyone? Anyone? Bruce Lee wrote this along with James Coburn.
Really? Bruce Lee wrote a movie with James Coburn?
Yeah. 5 years after he died, this thing came out.
Apparently our audience has heard it.
But I guess taking the Bruce Lee role is David Carradine, which, well...
How does this happen? Hey, I did it on Kung Fu, I'll do it on this show. Or this
I stole it from him.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys, I'm not a David Carradine fan.
No, I don't think I've ever really been one. But I got
to
give props
to my ability
to Blue Underground, which is the studio that released this. They do a lot of these, classic kind of obscure films, which I always like to pick up. Next DVD is Hannibal Rising, and the reason why I want to pick this one up is because it has Gong Li in it, and she's got amazing cleavage.
That's a good reason.
Well, on the cover of Curse of the Golden Flower, it's just kind of out in the open.
I know. How are they selling this movie? I know, with her breasts.
But, of course, Hannibal Rising is the prequel written by Thomas Harris, the guy that...
1, 2, 3. Go and eat it.
...wrote all the Hannibal Lecter books.
Right.
I don't really know the quality, but I hear it's
he should have stopped
horrible.
With Man Silence Hunter? Of the Lambs. Yeah, Manhunter. Yeah. Should have stopped.
The next DVD is one that I've seen advertised on HDNet. It's called The Hawk is Dying.
He's nice, it's got, guy. Let's do it.
Paul Giamatti and Michelle Williams in it. I don't know if this guy's like a falconer or falconeer or whatever. I have no idea.
Falcon and the Snowman?
Yes, I think so. And I think Sean Penn's in it and Timothy Hutton. But it looks really good. I can't really... The guy becomes obsessed with training a wild hawk, and it's just kind of a character study on this guy in kind of a battle of the wills with this hawk. And it just... It looks really good. I love these kind of movies, these slow-burn character study type films.
Right.
And it's got Paul Giamatti, so, I mean,
yeah,
it can't
be bad.
Yeah,
he's always good. He's always good.
The next DVD is a film by Takashi Miike.
Takashi Mike!
Yes, they're releasing they're releasing a special edition of Ichi the Killer with it's an uncut double disc special edition, but it has a fake blood bag on it.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, it says it's the blood pack special edition. It actually looks
pretty
cool. It'd
be asinine to think otherwise.
And it includes a featurette with Eli Roth, the director of Cabin Fever.
Oh,
Hostel,
God, get this guy out of the room. What? I don't want to
Am
hear
I the
those.
Only one who couldn't sit through the entire thing of Cabin Fever? I fell asleep.
It's horrible.
I sat through the whole thing and thought it was just terrible.
Hey, man! What about Hostel?
I felt Hostel's
pretty
afterwards.
Bad, too.
No, I haven't watched it.
I didn't like it. It was entertaining. I took it as kind of like an 80s movie. Like an 80s horror movie. You know, it's more for just fun than it is for... content.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus, please don't let this be no bloodbath up in here.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, why are people already putting Eli Roth up there with, like, Quentin Tarantino or something? Like, Eli Roth presents. It's like, huh? Why do I care what the hell this guy likes?
I think it's because he's friends. He's friends with, Quentin and Robert Rodriguez, and I think they're nice to him because... He sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe he likes coffee and stuff.
He makes them look good.
Yeah.
He's like, he's the McLovin character that hangs around.
He's kissing their ass and they're like, throw him a bone. He likes Takashi Mike. Let's let him do a commentary on here.
Next DVD is a special collector's edition of the classic Coming to America.
Ah, yeah.
This has to be one of the first movies that Eddie Murphy played multiple characters.
McDougals.
Yeah.
Yes. We don't have the double arches. We have the double arcs.
God, McDougal stuff cracks me up in that.
Louis.
That is really funny. This barbershop with Eddie and Arsenio playing
Arsenio
the
Arsenio Hall
different
is such
guys.
A talented guy. I predict big things for him.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what's so special about this, but it should be interesting if you don't own it.
Do you remember when that guy sued them for stealing his story idea and actually got money for it?
Yeah, yeah.
They stole his idea for Coming to America.
Crap is.
I was
going to
say, how do you prove someone stole your idea? I mean,
because you have the script. You have the script.
Oh, they had the script. Oh, I thought you meant that he just
submitted that you could tell that. They could prove that they read it and that kind of thing.
Oh,
It's pretty easy to prove intellectual property.
Yeah.
Especially whenever they actually have your intellectual property. Next DVD is The Fall Guy, complete first season.
Yes! I'm not one to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah, because I'm the unknown stuntman that made Clint Eastwood look so fine. Oh, man, I love it!
I love the opening of The Fall Guy. That was
that
one of the best
openings. That
opening
song kicked ass. It was just that, so genius.
I remember him swinging on that white bar thing, or the train thing. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So badass.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV.
Genius.
But the hardest thing I ever do is
watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee.
So cool, him in the jetpack.
I forgot about that. A brand new car, cause I'm the
unknown stuntman. Man, I got the lyrics way wrong.
No, it says Eastwood.
Oh, Heather Thomas in her bikini.
I've never spent much time in school, but I told ladies plenty. It's true.
It's the greatest theme song ever. Hey, hey. I've
gotten burned. Is that Lee Majors singing it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hey. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. An open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine.
Cause I'm the unknown stuntman. Marky Post as so Terry.
I think this had the longest opening song ever.
They had an abbreviated version too, I believe. Genius. And he always...
Man, it tells
why
the whole
the,
story.
Why did
right
the episode
there
always end with him in the bathtub? That was kind of uneasy, wasn't it?
Because he was soaking his muscles.
He was the unknown stuntman. That was
from
genius.
From all the hard work he had to do.
So tell me about the box set. What do we expect on there?
But he's gay.
Or no, he's not.
Or you get an ace bandage that
all
says
the women
stuntman on it.
He's never been less than a nine. Didn't you hear him, lady?
You know, what's kind of disappointing about this set is that it's got all 22 season one episodes, including the double length pilot episode.
Yes!
But the double length, I mean, that's important. It's only got like two little things. It's got a Remembering the Fall Guy and American Classic featurette and the Unknown Stuntman theme song featurette.
Nice.
So it's, you know,
Tim
it's
the booth
not loaded.
So there's a longer version even.
What I like about this show is it kind of paved the way for Lost.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, because whenever you need to jump from a helicopter to a flatbed truck.
Well, think about it. Every episode of Lost ends with Jack in the bathtub smoking a stogie. I remember there was a kid, I was jealous, there was a kid at school who had a Fall Guy lunchbox. You could see Lee Majors like on fire on the box. It was so
awesome.
Cool. It was badass.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, so next DVD.
Steven, does all this compute?
Does not compute.
Good job, Steven.
You need to give him a cartridge of nuke.
It does not compute.
It's you're just tired, Steven.
Energy cell exhausted.
You need some Energon cubes.
Yes. That's a, yes, Energon cubes.
Whoa, check it out. Alien, look out.
Look out.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
Yeah, got him with the ninja star.
If the preview for Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer whetted your appetite while you were watching Heroes, you can now go out and pick up the Fantastic Four Extended Edition.
Ooh. Did you guys love how the Candace gave Micah the Silver Surfer comics like a commercial?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And the other problem, when Candace got knocked out, how did she revert back to her hot body whenever
they missed an opportunity there.
Like, she should have turned into, like, this big, fat...
That would have been great. They missed that opportunity. Little elements they could have put in there to make it so... forget it. Go back to Crossing Jordan, Tim Kring. Oh, wait, it's canceled. Never mind.
Yeah, I wonder why. And if he puts Jerry O'Connell on Heroes, I'm gonna friggin' lose it.
If he starts sliding on there, I'm out.
Sliding. Yeah, he is he can. That's his power on Heroes. Awesome!
What's that guy's name was on Slider?
I've got an issue here. I've got an issue.
He played the dwarf in Lord of the Rings.
Dominic Monaghan?
Nistleplank?
Oh, John Rhys Davies.
John Rhys Davies,
what
yes
are you talking about, Vanessa? Mr. Mixleplank?
Mr. Mixleplank?
Scares me, Jason.
Next DVD is HOTS, H-O-T-S, you know, sex comedy from
DNA.
The 80s. Bare bone release of the film.
No Danny Bonaducci commentary?
I mean, it does have Bonaducci and Playmates. I mean, that's really all you need for HOTS. Next DVD is Henry Rollins Show, Season 1.
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
This is actually pretty damn good show.
He interviews interesting people on the show. I'll say
that. And he's pretty good at it.
Because he sits down and he talks to him. He may ask some interesting questions and stuff. Which
I liked his Oliver Stone interview. And who else did
I remember seeing him interview Michael Madsen. And Michael Madsen read some of his poetry, which I thought was really interesting.
That was really creepy.
He's a weird dude, man.
But he also had some really great bands on, like Death Cab for Cutie and New York Dolls.
Yeah, I saw the New York Dolls on that. That was weird.
Yeah, David Johansen is just really...
He's a scary man.
And speaking of Henry Rollins, his uncut from New York City thing where he just gets up and talks for 90 minutes is also coming out along
with that. Damn it! All right, Bill, what other DVDs are coming out?
Space? On top of Hots, we have Meatballs.
Ah, yes!
But what's so crazy about this release is it's also got a Blu-ray release.
Cool.
At the same time.
Who the hell would buy that?
So if you your high-def Meatballs...
Anyone owns Meatballs, send us the drop where they go, spaz, 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 when he's doing the... I love the whole color war at the end. That's such a funny movie. It really
is. This was back whenever Ivan Reitman could actually direct something. And, you know, this movie was also written by Len Blum, who wrote Howard Stern's Private Parts.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm just, you know, letting it out there. Next DVD is something that everyone needs to see. It's Eddie Murphy's Norbit. On the cover, it says it's hysterically funny, so we should all run out and pick it up right away.
It must be good.
I love how they have to put hysterically funny in gigantic red letters on the cover.
I laughed my ass off.
A laugh a minute.
The funniest hit of the summer.
A laugh riot.
Okay, and last DVD is definitely one I'm going to pick up, and probably quite a few people that listen to the show that also listen to Hollywood Saloon, and that's the Sergio Leone Anthology.
Ooh, cool.
It's got A Fistful of Dollars, Collector's Edition.
I'm gangsta.
Oh.
For a few dollars more, Collector's Edition, the Good, Bad, and the Ugly Collector's Edition, and the one that really puts the cherry on top, Duck, You Sucker,
yeah,
otherwise known as A Fistful of Dynamite.
This is the week we should have had Andy on.
Yeah.
If you remember,
Duck, You Sucker is the one with Rod Steiger and James Coburn.
Seriously, if somebody out there hasn't seen a Leone film, just check them out. They're really incredible, especially, of course, the Clint Eastwood movies, but also my favorite is Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, I love that
movie.
Yeah,
that's a great flick.
Great film.
You see a lot of directors, newer directors, ripping off of Sergio Leone's style.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, he influenced everybody.
Yeah.
Spielberg, Scorsese...
It's not really ripping off. It's you know, an homage. It's appreciation.
Well, it's not ripping off. It's influencing. He inspired so many people to make films just by the existence of his craft. That
kind of
thing.
you can't like, you know, ignore his genius. It's you know, if somebody's done it better than you can think you do it, you use the shot.
Right. I mean, Quentin Tarantino wouldn't exist without Leone, Scorsese, Spielberg, all those guys. Everybody's been influenced by him.
We're beating him! I'm beating him! I'm beating him! I'm beating him! It's not a game anymore, Dougie!
Yeah, and that's DVDs for May 29th, 2007.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. And that was the last DVDs in news of the season.
Yes.
I enjoyed it very much, Bill. It was
so did I.
Thank you, Bill. Delicious. I don't know what that means.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's kind of
disturbing.
It's a tad disturbing.
Thank you. Cat. Good night. Here are we cut a meal. And what?
Everybody, that was episode 81 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thank you for joining us. It is the 81st episode of our show, and we're very proud of it. Thank you for season 2 of Mulberry. We closed it out, and it's delicious.
Delicious.
Steven, why do I keep saying that? I don't know. Well, anyway,
I'm not commenting.
If you'd like to call and leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Go to nowhereamulberry.com. There you'll find links to Mulberry Old School. You'll find links to our forum, nimforum.com, which is dead. Don't even bother. Don't even look.
Nobody goes there.
Also, leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. You've been supportive. Everything's been great. Actually, you haven't been supportive of the forum. But guys, we're going to take a break after this Mulberry. Maybe June off. We might not have an episode for a whole month. We're just going to take some time off from the show. It's time to do it. And we'll be back.
It's not us. It's you, really.
Yeah. It's not you guys.
After I
come
back from my vacation.
I know, Steven. I'm sorry. But, you know, I need a break, man. No, I mean, it's time to have summer. It's time to have vacations. It's time to have fun. You know what I'm saying? And you guys really want us to talk about So You Think You Can Dance every week. But we'll be back when we decide
to. Got it. When we're back.
Aliens! Aliens! Oh! Jesus! Jesus Christ.
Meaty. Look out.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Steven.
I want some cheese.
Great early warning system. Bill, check over there. Check your six. Steven, I want you to fall back and lay a suppressing fire with the incinerators.
What is that? Suppressing fires? What?
All right, we busted out the Colonial Marines here. They're coming to our rescue, I think. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Game over, man.
Zombie aliens. I hate them.
Now, Bill, we got to shut down the reactor. It's the only way we can escape. But apparently we've been infested with some kind of alien creature or something. Just use your imagination. Bill, watch out. Acid!
Oh, oh God!
Jesus! Bill!
Yes!
We're going to have to put him out. He's like the dude in RoboCop. Oh, my God. Sorry, Bill. Oh, one more time. In this head. Steven, in the head. In the head. Steven, you're programming. We need to work on this.
Greetings, program.
Huh? Now, Vanessa, you've beamed aboard the ship. It's nice to have you here in present.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. What do you think of the... Sorry, Bill. Vanessa, look out! Oh, you've been bitten by an alien. Jesus.
I'm not dead yet!
Oh, Bill's alive! Oh, Vanessa, it's chewing your neck!
I don't want to die!
Oh my God, wait, hold still, hold still, let me get it off you! There we go. Oh, Steven, shoot straight, hit the alien in the head! There you go.
I'm a Vanessa, I'm sorry.
Man, Steven's programming, we'll get this down. You're still on Windows, apparently. Wait, oh my God, it spewed acid. Vanessa! Oh, Jesus! You're a disgusting freak! Oh! Oh, Jesus.
And the acid's not helping.
Put her out
either.
Of her misery! The acid's not helping either! Nice. Hey, good dog. Steven Bot cracked a joke! Look out! Aliens! Aliens! There's more of them over there! Time, mother sucker!
Meaty behind you, Jason.
Thanks! Jesus! I got this robot. Oh, jeez. Okay. Thanks, Steven. Just shot me in the foot. Oh, damn, alien. Now, Bill, are you still with us?
Off.
Bill, are you still alive?
Barely. I'm dead now.
Okay, just checking. Steven, look out!
Ooh, ninja star to the head! Ow!
Oh, yeah! That guy is the best thing about this show. Oh, sorry. Steven, look out! Acid! Oh, all over you. Your new... what was that? Was that acid?
I know, my oil leak.
I'll take your word for it.
It ate a hole in my casing, my lid.
Let's check and see if there's any movement.
We got movement!
Movement in the perimeter. Buku movement.
We got Buku movement in the perimeter.
There's only one way to get out of this, guys. We're going to have to blow up the station. Nuke it from orbit. What do you guys say?
All right, guys, let's get out of here.
Alright guys, let's just nuke this sucker for orbit. And that's it guys. Notice it was very lackluster and anticlimactic. See you next year.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Now this is podcasting.